I like casual meetings. Goodness, they're so much fun. I think you're going to have a lot of questions, and as long as you don't mind me saying I don't have an answer, we'll do fine. I'm willing to do that. Hey, God does speak to me occasionally. And I think I want to share with you just a little bit tonight. I'm going to keep it short. Just something God's been speaking to me about. You know, I always look to the Lord for a word for the year, or a word for church, or a word just that God has for me personally, corporately, whatever. And we just went through a difficult time in our church, and my goodness, God's been speaking to me out of that over and over again. So you're going to get some of that overflow. That blessing. Remember that when a speaker comes in, the fun thing about being a speaker is I get to go home. And Joe can follow up with all the questions and tie the pieces together. One of the things God's been speaking to me about has to do with the way we think, the way we process information. I'm very interested in the mind. I think God has done an amazing thing when he gave us a mind, for most of us. And I value that. I love the process when you're watching a child mature and you see them starting to puzzle out things, figuring out how to walk, figuring out how to reach for things. You can see their mind working. It's just wonderful to watch. God loves it when he sees your mind working. So let's seek him tonight for the mind of Christ. Pray with me, please. Hallelujah. Father, you are wonderful. We can't even comprehend your mind. It is so great and amazing. Father, I pray you'll bring revelation of the mind of Christ to us, oh God. Cause us to come up higher, Lord, deeper in you. Let us see you more clearly and understand a new aspect of your character and your makeup. Father, let us revel in who you are. Teach us, Father. We need you. Open up your word to us. In Jesus' name, I ask these things in faith. Amen. I believe that every time that you read the Word of God is transforming you. Every time you're sitting in an audience and the Word is read, it's transforming you. There's something about the power of God's Word that causes creativity to be released, healing to be released, His presence. Wasn't His presence that was introduced through worship amazing? Thank you, worship team, wherever you are. That was amazing. I love it when a worship team does that. It's obvious that they have yielded their own hearts to God. And when they do that, they're leading us into his presence where we are changed. Praise God. If you never did anything else but sit in the presence of God and listen to the word and say yes to him, you're changed. But there are things that hinder your growth. There are things that stop you from maturing in the Lord. And I want to address some of those things tonight. I know, just because I've done so much traveling, that sometimes a preacher will be preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching. Then a guest speaker comes in, preaches the exact same message, and suddenly you see it. That's because the pastor has already plowed the field, has already prepared the atmosphere, has already sown his prayers and his tears and his cries, and then the speaker comes in and piece of cake. I tell people all the time, the Holy Ghost makes me look good. But that's because the Holy Ghost uses the preacher to prepare the congregation. You are a prepared congregation. Therefore, tonight, expect change. You will not be the same. I believe God is on the brink of an amazing thing. Now, when I say that, you know, I used to think, oh, glory, revival's going to hit all over the place. It doesn't mean that all the time. Sometimes it means there's going to be an explosion and everything falls apart. And out of that comes the will of God. Do you know when he wanted to scatter the sheep, he had to allow the shepherd to be smitten. When Jesus was smitten, the sheep scattered, and the gospel was spread everywhere. It's out of crisis that we mature. It's in the middle of the storm that we learn he is the Lord of the storm. It's in the middle of an earthquake that shakes Alaska that my granddaughter learned God is there in the middle of the earthquake. He was not the earthquake. He was there in the middle of it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, we had that 7.2 earthquake that hit this last November. I was in Texas at the time and with my daughter, and I get this frantic phone call from my son, Mom, we're having an earthquake. And I could hear crashing in the background, dishes breaking, and he's hanging on to the door frame, and then everything quieted down, and I could tell this was a strong earthquake because my son's kind of a big guy, nothing shakes him, but he was a little shaken. And then he said, hold on, it's coming again, and I could hear that. There's sort of a roar of the ground groaning when an earthquake hits, and sure enough, I could hear more dishes breaking. Well, my first thought, I knew my son was okay or he wouldn't be on the phone with me, but my first thought was my granddaughter, because she's in an area that's more of an earthquake zone. And so we called her right away and she was frantic. Things had fallen over. Everything was pretty frantic at her house. She was hit a lot harder. But in the middle of that, as I'm calming her down, reminding her that underneath are the everlasting arms. It's in the middle of a shaking, in the middle of a crisis, when suddenly that which is real surfaces. That's when people suddenly start repenting. Yeah. It's really better to repent ahead of time. Repentance is holy ground. I tell people that all the time. It's nothing to be ashamed of. None of us are without sin. We stumble and fall and blow it many times, but God he's provided a sacrifice for our sin, the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. So when he shows you something, it's because he's saying, come on, baby, come up higher. Let me cover that. Let's take it away. Come on. But how many of us will hide from that? Just like in the garden, Adam and Eve were trying to hide their sin. As if. How many of you have ever thought you could hide something from the Lord? I did. And logically I knew, this is crazy. Of course I can't hide it from God. He knows everything. But fear was governing me, so I was trying to hide. Usually when you try to hide, it's fear-based. But one of the things God spoke to me about for this year that I want to address with you is how I process faith. How do I handle a crisis? There are three things God wanted me to focus on. Do you react in fear? Do you react with fantasy thinking or faith thinking? And there's a difference. Fantasy thinking is rampant in the church. Rampant. Fantasy thinking lives in an illusion. If I do what I'm supposed to do, then God has to answer this prayer. Or God has to do this. If I'm a good girl, God will be a good God. Which means he'll do things the way I want him to do it. That is so ridiculous. But, you know, I used to think that way. Fantasy thinking. If you grew up in a dysfunctional household, you are full of fantasy thinking. I don't want to give specifics, but when you're dysfunctional, you arrange things in your thinking process to keep you safe. God wants to set you free from that so you walk in safety in Him, no matter if you're in the middle of an earthquake or a tornado, you're in Him and you have His mind. But His mind is not like your mind. He doesn't work the way you work. His ways and thoughts are so much higher than ours. I tell Him all the time, Father, I don't even know how to pray about this situation. Do I pray this way or do I pray that way? Don't you have times like that? When you don't know how to pray? You know what you want, but sometimes what you want is fantasy thinking. God wants you to pray according to His strategy and plan for you personally as a human being, men, for you as a man, because men are different than women. Have you noticed that, ladies? Very different. God has a different strategy for your husband than He does for you, which is a shock to so many women. That's why you cannot make your husbands behave the way you want him to. You think differently. You process differently. That's normal. Men were created that way. I mean, my husband and I think so differently. I'm puzzled about it sometimes. One time I turned to him and I said, honey, what are you thinking? Because he had this look. He had the look. And he said, nothing. And I said, well, it's impossible to think nothing. Have you ever tried? Women cannot think nothing. Men can. You amaze me. How do you do it? I've tried. All right? Right now, just think nothing. That's true. He does that. Doesn't mean he's empty-headed. Please, don't misunderstand. Women have a different way of processing. And God created us with these differences, which eventually will end to some kind of a clash or a trauma. And out of that comes a groping toward God for His answer. You cannot convince someone to agree with you if they choose not to. I just came from ministering in north of Anchorage, and there's a man there who hates he who must not be mentioned, one of our political figures. And he knows that I went to the president's inaugural ball. So he was pretty angry with me. So I had a Q&A. Listen, we're going to have a Q&A later. I can handle any question. I don't have any trouble saying I don't know, but I'll try to give you as straightforward an answer as I can. But anyway, we're in this Q&A session, and this guy got on this horse, his hobby horse, and he was ranting and railing and pacing. And after a while, you know, everyone's waiting patiently. After a while, I said, honey, I've known him a long time. Honey, is there a question in there? Because we're Q&A time. He said, well, no. I said, okay. Then I went on to the next question. So don't hold back. Be nice, but don't hold back. I believe God wants to answer questions. He wants to give you an understanding of things because He wants you to know Him better. He wants to reveal Himself to you. You know, the Word of God teaches that there'll come a day when people will knock at the door and say, Lord, Lord, let us in, let us enter. And He'll open the door and He'll say, I do not know you. Depart from me, workers of iniquity. That's that generational bent. I don't know you. Who are you? You see, God wants you to know Him as you are known. Don't be afraid to open your heart to him. We're going to have a few days where you may feel challenged. That's a good thing. A crisis is a good thing. It's an opportunity for you to mature and come up higher. When this church I was telling you about that I ministered to in north of Anchorage, I've been ministering there for a number of years now, and I was wonderfully delighted when I went back to see that they had grown. Their maturity was obvious, and as a result, their love had deepened, and there was an amazing joy in this church. They had dealt with some sticky, tangled issues, and this kind of church is very open, and they share things with one another, and I thought, they were going to blow each other up, but look what happened. They're not only hanging together, they're growing up, and I love what I see. Now, this is not just us for that church. I believe all over the body of Christ, God has been shaking the body of Christ. And he's been using our political system and our media to do it. This is a crisis in our nation. And out of that crisis is when there is maturity, that your opportunity to grow is astronomical. Because you have to embrace, number one, you are not God, and he is. And number two, he really knows what he's doing. He has not lost control, not one bit, and he has not let go of the destiny that he has determined upon the United States of America when he birthed this nation. I went on, before the election, I went on a tour with Dutch Sheets, a prayer journey to the original 13 states. It was just 2 weeks before the election, and we were praying like crazy. And everywhere we went, our original founding fathers honored God. They acknowledged him as the creator. They recognized that without him, America would not make it. And everything they did was built on that fact, even if they didn't know God in the sense that we know God. They had an understanding of God that was deep and rich. They knew he was sovereign. They knew that he was the one that calls the shots. He's the big boy. And they knew this nation had a destiny. And when I read their writings, or I saw some of the statues that they had created to honor God and to honor the destiny for this nation, I was astonished at how again and again and again it was reiterated what God had planned and his strategy. And we have, I know, strayed far from those original things, but God has never strayed. God has never let go of those things. He is still working in the hearts of men and women in this nation to bring us to that place where what he determined would happen in this nation was going to take place no matter who was sitting on the throne. Right. Now hear me. God uses people that you would never choose because he's God. He knows what he's doing. I can't tell you how many times I would be in the middle of praying, interceding, and God would speak to me and say, "What are you doing?" Because I'd missed the mark. I was praying my will. One time I raced home from work one day. My son was 17 at the time. And he was getting in real trouble at the school. So I went home, I was going to pray the prayer of faith. I fell on my knees and I began to shundalai at the top of my head, just crying out to God. And then I began to quote the promises God had given me for my son, reminding him, raise up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. etc. And all of a sudden God said to me, Mary, let me discipline him. I will discipline him in truth, and I will not destroy him. That scared the liver out of me. I mean, God was asking me to trust him with my most wonderful firstborn, who could do no harm. God's ways are not our ways. And there will come a crisis in your life when you must choose God's way, even if you don't like it. This happens to everybody that God chooses and calls to follow him. And you can shout and scream all you want, but God is still God. He still has a plan for your life, and he loves you. He's passionate about loving you. So as he began to speak to me about these three things, fear, faith, or fantasy, he began to address how many times I have this fantasy, because I came to Christ when I was 7. And, you know, we had an alcoholic background that I grew up in. A lot of violence, you know, cops showing up, guns, knives, drug, not drugs, but it was pre-drug era. But a lot of everything else. And in the middle of that chaos, God found me. And amazing. I found this wonderful God who loved me. So I decided that God, because he's perfect, right? He is perfect. That then he would give me this fairy tale life. So I began to pray. God had to destroy some of my illusions so I would get to know him and trust him the way he really is. Not based on fear. Have you ever prayed, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you? And you're so terrified you because you're so fearful. Now, God doesn't discipline us for that. He brings us out of that to see who he is. And trust me, he is wonderful. My goodness, when I learned different aspects of his nature, I was shocked. Because I was so religious. See, you know, I was actually good at keeping laws. I was so religious that I thought he was religious. Did you know he's not very religious? I could tell you the story I just told Joe today about how God sends laughter in the most inopportune time in order to do something to release healing or faith or whatever it is, even in the middle of a funeral. I mean, yeah, I know. Or when you're in an Athabascan village and the medicine man is marching and you're getting ready to speak and the medicine man is marching up and down the aisle pontificating proudly. I hate women preachers, he says. I'm the preacher. And I hate women preachers who aren't even Episcopalian. I'm not Episcopalian. So in order to deal with that crisis, God gave me laughter. Now, there's a problem with this. It's an Athabascan village. It's above the Arctic Circle, so it's 50 below zero. There's no way in and out of the village. It's pitch dark outside. I don't know where I am. And here I am, this medicine man is challenging me, and this is an Athabascan village. Log cabin church, beaded moose hide altar cloth. And I started to laugh, and I said, not now, Lord, not now. Because Athabascans don't show their teeth, because to laugh and show your teeth is a sign of aggression. I don't know how to smile without showing my teeth. And then the laughter got so bad, I finally threw my head back, laughing out loud. Terrible breach of protocol. Terrible. And this medicine man glared at me because this, you know, I'm being aggressive. But I couldn't help it. I told the Lord not to do this. But do you think he would listen to me? Do you think he didn't know the Athabascans would consider that a sign of aggression? Do you think he didn't know that? Do you think he's being bad? I tried to talk him out of it. I couldn't control the laughter. And to make it worse, it spread down my entire pew. Until the whole pew of Athabascans were laughing hysterically. And then the chief of the village put down his guitar and went up to the mic. And he said, "I have been derelict in my duties. I want to welcome Mary Glazier and her gospel to my village." And he glared at the medicine man who was from a different village. And the minute he said that, I want you to hear this, proper protocol, the message was welcomed by the man who had the authority, the chief. And the minute the message was welcomed, the Spirit of God fell on that entire room. We had a Holy Ghost blowout meeting, and God gave me a message 10 seconds to midnight. I'd never preached it before in my life. I couldn't repeat it to you if I tried. But I got up and gave a 10 or 15 minute message, and the altar was packed with people coming to Christ, including the medicine man. Do you think God knew what he was doing? Listen, turn with me to Romans 1:17. Romans 1:17. "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed." Oh, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek." Who? "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." In the gospel, in the word, as you are living this word, you are going to have a revelation of God from faith to faith. Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Wow. Wrath is stirred when people suppress the truth. Do you think the truth is being suppressed today? With the news media? In the church? I mean, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. So people who are getting wrathy over issues, I mean, I have heard pastors say things they need to be spanked for. I love them. They're going to heaven. But somebody needs to spank them. I love them. But God is calling us to come up higher. He's calling us to embrace his truth and to find out who he is, to move from faith to faith. There's a progression in faith. And the progression only happens when you're willing to embrace God's truth. When I was at that Q&A session north of Anchorage at Delta, and this man was ranting, I've known him for probably 20 years, and I knew that he'd come out of a background where he had experienced some abuse, and there was a wound in there, like a tight fist. And out of that wound, he couldn't hear. He could only express angrily opinions because that was his way of trying to deal with the pain on the inside. But something in him Because he's in a place where we listen, we didn't condemn him, but we're speaking the truth to him in love, God is unraveling something in him. How many of you are fishermen? Any fishermen in the room? Bass? Yeah, I like bass. Sea bass, my favorite. I caught a 68-pound king. Just thought I'd throw that out there for you guys. King salmon is the best, boy. But one of the things I hate when I go fishing is when the fishing season comes and you get your tackle box out and you're getting ready to bait the hook, they'll get the line lined up, and all of the line is snared and tangled. Don't you just hate that? I mean, I used to try to untangle it because I was so scotch, I didn't want to go down and get new line. Oh, I hope I didn't. Was that offensive? Any Scots in the room? I mean, I'm getting super sensitive now about it, being politically correct. So rather than untangle it now, I'll just cut the line. Sometimes you have to cut your losses. Do you know that inside of people is a tight fist of rebellion that we're born with? It's just there. How big it is depends on our family line, what's been passed down to us in our family. In our family line, we had a lot of alcoholism and a lot of abuse. And Haidas, I'm part Haida Indian, Haidas are wild. Whew! I mean, my grandfather was a wonderful Christian. So he donated some land in the village to the Assembly of God Church so they could build a church. So the pastors came over and put a trailer on the property until they could build the church. Well, the Haidas went out and turned the trailer over. We're kind of a wild breed, I'd say. Sort of like Texans. You Missouri people aren't like that, are you? Come on, some of you guys are. Yeah. I had to deal with that anger and that wild part of my nature as I grew in Christ. There was that tight fist on the inside. Do you know how God will deal with the tight fist when you won't let it go? He can cut it out rather than try to untangle it. Or he can blow it up. Crisis hits, and suddenly we have to deal with that thing on the inside, and we cry out to him for deliverance. Listen, God is dealing with people right now. Why do you think our nation is in such a place of crisis? Brother against brother, where the anger and the hatred is rampant. I've never seen it like this in our nation because it's been so well hidden. But it's not well hidden anymore. Now it's coming to the surface. You can't deal with it until you see it. I have a friend of mine who's a wonderful counselor, and she would tell me, Mary, if you can't feel it, you can't heal it. But I was so sweet. I was trained as a little girl that joy was Jesus first, others second, yourself last. So I was always last. So I had this anger that built up inside of me, but I had this sweet smile because I was trained to be a sweet girl. But you cannot heal something if you're just smiling over it. I had to learn how to be real with God. He can handle your honesty. He really can. He wants you to come into a new relationship with him. The kind of relationship where you can laugh. The kind of relationship where he goes fishing with you. The kind of relationship where when you're hunting, he shows you where the moose are. Oh, you don't have moose here, do you? Aw. Deer. He knows where every deer is. He created one just for your refrigerator. Yeah. knows I like venison. Listen, I'm an old gal now. I have something called proxy hunters that hunt for me. Proxy fishermen. We got all the fish I needed last year, including a big king salmon. And any of you want a proxy fish for bass for me, you're certainly welcome to. But listen, in the kingdom, God is your proxy hunter. He is your proxy fisherman. He's the one who will give and grant and bless. And if there's a withholding, listen to this, rain on the just and the unjust. If there's a withholding, he's calling you, come closer. Come closer. Come on. We're going to go through this together. We're going to go through this earthquake together. Come on. Be hidden in him. Come on. When a tornado's coming, he's there. There is something about God that will allow a crisis so you will get to know him better in the middle of the crisis. Until you are unshakable. Now, my granddaughter, you know, they've had, last time I heard, about 3,000 aftershocks since November 30th. Some of them have been pretty big. And so I called my granddaughter after everyone, anything 4.0 and above, I call her. And she said, I'm doing okay, Grandma. We've had so many, it doesn't bother me anymore. Somehow, in the midst of this unstable land, she's coming into a new place of being unshaken. In the midst of the shaking going on in America, God is calling the church to come into a new place in him. God wants us to come into unity, but we cannot come into unity until we come into a place in him where we think the thoughts he has, the way he does. I'm really praying for you to come into a place where God will reveal himself to you in the middle of your crisis, in the middle of your situation, in the middle of the differences you have. Someone who disagrees with you is one of the best things that could happen to you. One of the things I learned early on is that I don't know everything. Hey! It is true. I don't. My husband and I are so very different that I deeply need him the way he is. I used to tease him all the time because we would race to the polls during election time because I wanted to see if he'd signed in and voted before me. And if he hadn't voted before me, my vote would count for a while. Because his vote would normally cancel out mine. We had many a discussion over that. Listen, be willing to disagree as long as you agree with God. One of the best things that could happen to me was when God began to teach me not to depend on my own reasoning. Lean not, right, on your own understanding. Because his thoughts are higher than ours. And there are so many times when a situation would arise and I just asked the Lord, I don't know how to pray. What's going on here? And he would begin to open up what was going in under the surface of what he was doing. He is wonderful, you guys. He really knows what he's doing. And he knows what he's doing in our nation. He knows what is coming. And there are some things coming where he wants his church mature and trusting him. So, the wrath of God revealed against those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. Jeremiah 7:24. Listen, Jeremiah speaks about the going backwards instead of forwards. I thought this was an interesting scripture when I was doing a little research. Jeremiah 7:24 says, yet they did not obey. Now God has just spoken to them through the prophets and said, obey my voice, and I will be your God. You will be my people. He's giving them a wonderful promise. You will walk in all the way which I command you, that it may be well with you. If it's not well with you, ask him, how do I walk in your way here? Verse 24, yet they did not obey, nor incline their ear, but they walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and they went backwards and not forwards. You don't want to lose ground. You have gained some ground, and some of you have had to pay a heavy price to grow to the place you're at right now. You've gone through some hard things, and you've held on. You're still here. Praise God we're still standing, huh? I tell people all the time, just standing is victory. Because a lot of people aren't standing anymore. People I worshiped with, went to church with, and they've fallen into a ditch and backslid. They gave up all those years of growth and study for a piece of temporary satisfaction. And they lost something. Now, they could still come back, but they lost something. Don't lose that which you've labored for to this point. You have an opportunity to go forward, not backwards. Don't go backwards. It's always too soon to quit. Always. When you're right on the brink of breakthrough, don't quit. Keep pressing in. Praise God. Listen to this. They went backwards. Now, in Matthew 9:29, it's a story of the two blind men who came to Jesus. And Jesus asked them a question. Do you believe? Do they believe he's who he says he is? And they said, yes, Lord, we believe. And then God said to them, Jesus said to them, be it unto you according to your faith. If their faith was rooted in fear, oh, I hope he heals me, or fantasy, they would not have laid hold of it. But if you have that simple, childlike faith as a seed of mustard, a mustard seed is very tiny. He's not asking you to have a giant faith. Sometimes we hear testimonies about people who are healed of cancer or healed, or they get $1 million as an inheritance, whatever. That's the big stuff. Most of us are dealing with the small stuff. Most of us are dealing with, in my case, a 17-year-old boy who was being corrected by God. Most of us are dealing with a granddaughter who's racing across an earthquake field with bleeding feet to try to find a place of safety. Most of us are dealing with people who have a fever or people who are losing a loved one. Those are our crises. Those are where we live, right? Those are the ordinary, everyday American crisis that we must overcome. And God is with you. He has the answer for you. He will bring you through. You will not be the same. You will go forward into him, and you will learn who he is in the middle of your crisis. It doesn't help you to hear who he is necessarily in my crisis. You can hear, you can say, yay, but it feels beyond you because it's not your crisis. But you will know him deep, deep in your soul when you go through your crisis and he walks with you and brings you through the storm and he changes the way you think. Because there's so much untruth being spoken. Rely on this. God's word is true. We don't always understand it. My Bible has questions, question marks in the margin. Question mark and a date, question mark and a date. When I say, Father, I don't understand this. Or this makes me mad. You know, like the prophet who was being teased by these young men, and so he called for two bears to come out and kill them. That story kind of made me mad. Or the story of Tamar. Yeah, that one bugged me too. So I put question marks until God began to reveal what he was doing. Oh my goodness, he is amazing. He has an answer for you. Those questions, please keep asking God. He is not offended when you ask him questions. He's not offended when you say, I don't have the answers, I don't know. He's not offended when you ask him the questions. I mean, sometimes when in my generation, we were taught that children should be seen and not heard. Aren't you glad you weren't born in that generation? You get to talk. So I had tons of questions. So when I came to God, I had to have a friend teach me how to ask questions because I was afraid to ask him questions. I thought he'd get mad at the questions. God doesn't get mad at the questions. He's bringing you up in him. We move from glory to glory, right? That word glory is the Greek word doxa, from which we get the word doxology. And the lexicon says the root meaning of doxa is to recognize something for the way it is. Something or someone. It's recognition. It's knowing someone. God wants you to know him. The only way you'll know him is if you ask him the questions that are issues in your life. And he gives you the answer. It may take a day. Sometimes he's given me real fast answers. I like that. Sometimes it takes a week. I have one question I've waited 25 years for. I know that I know my God has the answer. But boy, he's taking his time. He loves it when you ask him questions. Just as I love it when my great-grandchildren ask me questions. Great Nana, I don't understand this. Why was so-and-so mean to me? And I'll give her a wise answer. It's because they're idiots. No, I'm teasing. Listen, this journey is wonderful. Be on the journey with God. Let's go together. We're going to reach a goal that is so amazing. You don't want to be left behind. You know, you cannot just stay a lump on the pew. You really can't. Because according to this scripture here that I just read to you in Jeremiah, you will go backward and not forward. Every week that you gather together is an opportunity for you to go forward. So we are going to ask God to bring you forward tonight. And tomorrow, and Sunday, and then praise God, you'll be glad to see me leave. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, these are your people. These are your beautiful, wonderful, chosen, blood-bought people. How you delight over them, Father. How you love them. Father, in Jesus' name, would you open your heart up and reveal yourself to them? Show this young man what it means to walk with God. Show this man how to overcome the struggle he's having inside, Father. Show this young woman how to heal with the wounded heart she has. And Lord, show that woman who's been betrayed by a spouse how you will bring her through it. Father, show this old man how much you love his children, his spouse, his journey. Show him that he's not failed you. Father, show that young lady who's struggled and struggled and struggled and sometimes felt like giving up. Anchor her, Father. Anchor her. And reveal your love and acceptance right where she's at. And Father, untangle. Cut away the knot. untangle it. And where something is blowing up, have them hold steady in the middle of the storm, knowing that it will settle down and they'll see their way through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless.